live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the government's new COVID roadmap has been described as confused and confusing. The owner of an award-winning takeaway and restaurant in Letterkenny says support from government is needed for businesses that report a positive case of COVID-19 on their premises. A 49-year-old man has been questioned by police in connection with an investigation into a video which appears to show a young girl driving a truck down the M1 in County Tyrone. And a lorry driver is wanted in connection with a crash in St Johnston last week. Those stories do follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin. First in news, the government's new COVID roadmap has been described as confused and confusing. The plan contains five levels of restrictions based on how many cases of COVID there are in a particular county. But Dublin is being treated differently to the rest of the country. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The government made much of this plan being a clear roadmap for the next 9 months. It has five levels of restrictions, with the entire country being placed on level two. But Dublin has had more measures implemented, leaving it somewhere between points two and three. That's something Labour leader Alan Kelly criticised.
5.5 phases is not the right thing to do because it sets a precedent. What happens to Loud or some other county in a few weeks' time if they go to a certain threshold? Well, they'll say, why can't we be a Dublin?
But Taoiseach Micheál Martin rejected the idea of a stage 2 plus.
It's not 2.5 and 2.5. NPHET gave us advice on Dublin, and we acted on that advice. We were in transition from the first model to this new model that's been created, this new plan.
A new international travel regime will start next Monday, with countries like Germany, Poland, Iceland, Lithuania, Finland and Sweden likely to be added to the safe to travel list. Spectator sport is also to return under the plan, with 200 people allowed to watch a match in stadiums that can hold at least 5,000, with the government examining having bigger crowds in the larger stadiums like Croke Park and the Aviva Stadium. There are extra restrictions in place for Dublin, however, with crowds limited there, wet pubs unable to open, and people being asked not to leave the county if they can avoid it. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
The National Public Health Emergency Team is keeping Ireland locked up like North Korea. That's just one of the reactions from businesses and groups to the government's plan for living alongside COVID-19. Ben Finnegan has more.
Ryanair, which has been critical of the government's policies on international travel, have compared NPHET to the dictator Kim Jong-un by saying the group is keeping Ireland locked up. The airline wants the green list to be updated immediately. The country will follow the proposed EU traffic light system for international travel, which will be finalised on October 13th. The Irish Travel Agents Association says it's disappointed there won't be any update until then, saying there needs to be more clarity for the sector as soon as possible. Meanwhile, the Irish Tour Operator Operators Association has accused the Taoiseach of being misleading by saying there's no restrictions on people entering Ireland. Though it's been expected, there is anger among publicans in Dublin to the announcement they won't be allowed open on September 21st. Empty gestures and hollow words is how the Licensed Vintners Association described the decision, which is the fourth time their reopening has been delayed since closing in March, while pubs themselves in the capital are calling for them to be given the chance to show they can be a safe environment.
79 new cases of COVID-19 have been reported in the north. There has been one new coronavirus-related death. It brings the death toll to 571 in Northern Ireland, and the total number of cases since the start of the pandemic now stands at 8,502. The owner of an award-winning takeaway and restaurant in Letterkenny says support from government is needed for businesses that report a positive case of COVID-19 on their premises. It's after nine staff members at Burrito Loco tested positive for the virus. The food outlet initially closed on Thursday after being made aware that a positive case of the virus was connected to them. However, further testing revealed that nine staff in total contracted coronavirus, most of whom had relatively mild to no symptoms. Proprietor Tommy O'Brien says this is the reality of COVID-19.
The bottom line is we sell food. That's what we do. That's our business. But right now, you know, the landscape is changed, and what people are selling is trust. And at the end of the day, you can have the best food in the world, but if you don't have trust of people coming in, you really don't have anything, you know. So And that's probably where we come from and the statement we made and stuff like that. You know, we, as much as what we do, and we're a very popular place, and, you know, we have fantastic customer bases, and it reflects and the many, many comments and things people have said about us, and we love hearing them, and we really appreciate them, and we thank everybody for that. You have these best practices in the world, but this thing is going to come for some businesses. They're going to find themselves in the exact same situation that I found myself in. And it's more a case being you know, just roll with the punches. And I know from our customers, like, and you can see it yourself, you know, people will respect you for it, and people will be there to come out the other side of it. This is the new normal. This is where business is at as well. You know, this could happen us again. We don't know. And if we had to do it again, we'll have to do it again. But, you know, hopefully then from sort of council and government sort of levels, there's going to be supports and mechanisms in place for businesses that have sort of positive case of COVID have to get through this process. They know there's going to be support at the other end of it.
Hickwas says international evidence shows people with mild to moderate COVID-19 are unlikely to be infectious beyond 10 days from their first symptoms. The self-isolation period has been reduced from 14 days to 10, while the testing process for children is now less invasive. The quarantine period for a close contact of a confirmed case remains at 14 days. Dr. Marion Ryan from Hickwas says patients with severe to critical symptoms and those who are immunocompromised may be infectious for 20 days or more.
There's a small amount of evidence which relates to people with either very severe disease or people who are severely immunosuppressed. And unfortunately, what we see in those patients is that they're less able to fight the disease. And as a consequence, they remain infectious for a longer period of time.
Over €1.6 million has been allocated to refurbish social housing units in Donegal. The money will go towards upgrading over 100 housing units right across the county, allowing Donegal County Council to relet them to individuals and families struggling with homelessness or on the social housing waiting list. It's part of a nationwide stimulus programme of €39.8 million. Minister Charlie McConnell says this is just the first step in ensuring an adequate housing stock for the county.
It's crucial that we make the maximum use of the social housing that we stock that we have in the county, and the turnaround times are quick in relation to whenever people move out of a home, and ensuring that a new family can have that as their home. So the funding today from the Minister for Housing, Darragh O'Brien, of €1.6 million for the county is very important in that regard, and it will ensure that that 107 housing units can be brought back into operation in a very timely manner as the year goes ahead. And of course, that's the first part. And an essential part of making sure our housing stock is well used. The other key aspect which the government is putting a very big priority on is ensuring that we increase our housing stock and ensuring that there's investment now in new houses over the next period of time. And it was very welcome in that regard to have Minister O'Brien in the county in the last number of weeks, visiting a number of future projects. And I'm starting to be working very closely with him, along with my colleagues, in relation to trying to drive that forward in the time ahead.
Because we do know a lot of people will be saying today, even though they welcome the funding, a lot more will be needed for the county in terms of bringing more social housing up to spec and, as you mentioned, building more social housing.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to see increased investment across the country, and particularly in our own county, in terms of social housing in the time ahead. And Minister O'Brien, when he visited the county recently, made it very clear that he won't be found wanting in relation to ensuring that investment is forthcoming. And I, as Minister, along with my colleagues, will be working closely now with the County Council management as well, in terms of ensuring that housing delivery is followed through in the time ahead, and that we see Donegal a significant delivery of social housing in Donegal in the period ahead under the national programme.
British MPs have begun scrutinising Boris Johnson's controversial bill, which overrides part of the Brexit agreement. The Internal Market Bill passed its first test in the House of Commons last night, securing a majority of 77. But some MPs are refusing to support the legislation because they say it breaks international law. Former Attorney General Jeremy Wright is among them.
It was a deal that was signed up to voluntarily by the UK. And I simply don't believe it's credible to think that a UK government on behalf of this country would decide to break international law in the blatant way that's set out in these three clauses of the bill.
Investigations are continuing after a large quantity of gold jewellery was stolen from a house in Raphoe. On Wednesday last, entry was gained to the property on Guest House End Street through the back door between 1 and 8:15 p.m. The jewellery, namely four gold rings and two pairs of gold earrings, were stolen from a jewellery box. Garda Sean Sweeney has been giving a more detailed description of the stolen goods.
One of the gold rings has a ruby red stone insert. Another has a high set black stone. Another has a number of small diamonds. And another was an engagement ring with high set stones. One of the pair of earrings had a diamond in each, and the other were disc shaped. We're appealing to anybody who observed people or vehicles in the Rafo area on that date who rose suspicion, particularly in the guest house End Street, to notify Gardaí. Again, if anybody's any information in relation to stolen jewellery, please contact Gardaí immediately. Like, we're hoping to obtain photos of the jewellery to post to our Facebook page. And again, contact Gardaí 691 67100.
Meanwhile, a lorry driver is wanted in connection with a crash in St Johnstone last week. The incident happened at Mahara Cloy on Thursday evening at 4:45. A collision occurred between a lorry and a garden fence, and the lorry continued on its journey afterwards without stopping. A significant amount of damage was caused to the fence and railings as a result. Garda Sweeney is appealing to anyone with information to come forward.
The owner of the property heard the collision and observed an articulated green lorry with a silver trailer leave the scene. Quite a bit of damage was caused to the fence and railings as a result. So we're appealing firstly to anyone who was in that area on that date in a lorry matching that description to come forward, as it is possible that they did not realise the damage was caused. We're also appealing to anyone who was in the area with dash cam footage to come forward. And anyone with any information I might assist, please contact Gardaí Letterkenny.
A 49-year-old man has been questioned by police in connection with an investigation into a video which appears to show a young girl driving a truck down the M1 in County Tyrone. He was arrested in connection with a number of offences, including aiding and abetting driving while disqualified by reason of age and cruelty to children. The man has been released on bail pending further inquiries. The video is the second piece of footage to be circulated online showing a child driving a truck in the north. Last week, a 37-year-old man was arrested after a similar video of a young boy driving on the motorway near Dungannon emerged. Sleeve League Distillers have this week turned the first sod on their new distillery in Ardragh. The new state-of-the-art facility is set to start distilling by June 2021. James Doherty, co-founder of Sleeve League Distillery, says the development will not only be a boost for Ardragh, but for the county as a whole.
It's a super exciting day for us. It's been a long time coming, and I think for the community in Ardragh, it'll be a fantastic asset for the village. So I think it's been very well received.
And obviously, a lot of tourists will now visit the area, so it will enhance the economy as a whole.
Very much so. I think the idea is for the distilleries in general, they bring people in and keep people sort of for a tour of a working distillery of about an hour. And then with the design in Ardragh, it's about getting people walking in the town and in the village and helping themselves and to the weavers and the knitters and the foodstuffs and food and restaurants that you have in Ardragh. So it's for the whole benefit of the community, I think. We had a little bit of a delay with the COVID sort of pandemic, which has slowed down the production of the stills in Scotland, but they're now due to start arriving from February, so we have to get the buildings up and ready for that, and we'll be distilling by the beginning of June next year.
And not only for Ardragh, this is a great attraction for the whole of Donegal.
I think so. I think Donegal has a fantastic illicit heritage, and we're trying to bring back that Donegal style of whiskey that would have been sort of famous before the Industrial Revolution. So I think, you know, we're starting to see a sort of movement of distillers coming into Donegal, and that's got to be a great thing for the county.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
At 5:15, it's time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. The GAA, the FAA and the IRFU have set up a working group to develop a roadmap for the return of spectators to stadiums. Now, people will be allowed to attend sporting events in limited numbers under the government's new Living with COVID plan announced this afternoon. From tomorrow, 200 spectators will be permitted into venues which would usually have the capacity to host crowds of 5,000 or more. Smaller grounds will be able to admit 100 people with indoor events limited to 50. Representatives of Sport Ireland will also work with the group, which will be chaired by Aviva Stadium Director Martin Murphy. Moving on to soccer, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has signed a new contract at Arsenal. The club captain has agreed a 3-year deal that'll keep him at the Emirates until 2024. Aubameyang has scored 72 goals since moving to London from Borussia Dortmund in 2018. And Jack Grealish says the ambition of Aston Villa's owners encouraged him to sign a new long-term deal. The England midfielder has signed a new 5-year contract with the club. Grealish was subject of rumoured interest from the likes of Manchester United in the summer. Villa there in second round action in the Carabao Cup tonight, making the trip to League One Burton Albion. There's 16 ties in total tonight, with Newcastle entertaining Blackburn, Crystal Palace they go to Bournemouth, and West Ham they play host to Charlton among tonight's ties. Moving on to horse racing, and it's been a good day for two Donegal jockeys at the Tipperary races today. Luke McAteer and Oisin Orr have both saddled two winners apiece. Luke's two winners came in the 135 tipperaryraces.ie nursery handicap on board 41 shot Killoose, and on the 305 junction apprentice handicap on 33-1 outsider Nakatch Tobac. Oisin's winners were in the 235 Meadow View Stables maiden on 5-1 chance Magic Chega, while he also rode 18-5 shot over here to victory in the 335 Ula handicap to finish off a great day for the two Rathmullen men. In cycling, Nicholas Roach has registered his second top 10 finish in this year's Tour de France. He's been part of a breakaway group from the early on in the 16th stage and eventually came home in 8th. Roach was over 2.5 minutes behind stage winner Leonard Kamara. Sam Bennett's leading the green jersey points race remains untouched, and Primoz Roglic, he stays in the yellow jersey. In rugby, Connacht Rugby have confirmed that Anne Hennigan has been elected as the province's new president. The Mayo native is the first woman to be appointed to the position at any of the Irish provinces. She stepped up from junior vice president of Connacht in 2018 to the senior vice president role last year. Hennigan is also a judicial officer for World Rugby. In golf, James Sugrue has some esteemed company for the opening two rounds of this week's US Open. The 2019 amateur champion has been grouped with Lee Westwood and two times Masters champion Bubba Watson. Shane Lowry, he plays alongside Gary Woodland and US amateur champion Andy Ogletree. And Rory McIlroy, he's been grouped with Adam Scott and 2013 US Open winner Justin Rose. While 2010 US Open champion Graham McDowell, he opens up alongside Matt Kuchar and Lucas Glover. The second major of the year gets underway at Winged Foot in New York tomorrow on Thursday. In motorsport, Lewis Hamilton, he won't be investigated by Formula One's governing body for wearing a t-shirt at the Tucson Grand Prix about the shooting of Breonna Taylor. It featured the words "Arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor." The world champion wore it over his race suit before the race and again on the podium. The FIA say they'll issue guidelines to drivers about what they may and may not wear. Taylor was shot by police in her Kentucky home in March. Finally for this evening, in boxing, Dillian White has to get his rematch against Alexander Povetkin on the 21st of November. The heavyweight suffered a surprise knockout defeat to the Russian at a fight camp last month. That's all your sport for the moment. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, Gardaí have issued a warning over distraction burglaries after a woman was targeted in Letterkenny. The incident happened on Thursday afternoon at a house in the Gortley area of the town. Catherine Gaffney has more.
A white van and three males pulled up at the lady's house between 3:30 and 4:00 last Thursday afternoon. One of the males requested to use the bathroom. He was refused entry but proceeded to enter the house nonetheless. The other two males kept the lady distracted. When the three males left, the lady realised that a substantial amount of money was missing from her bedside locker. Gardaí are appealing to anyone living in the Gortley area or anyone who travelled that route on that day to come forward if they observed the van in question or the three males involved in the burglary. The suspects may also have called to other houses, and if they did, Gardaí want to hear from the homeowners concerned. A witness observed a white Mercedes Sprinter in the area with a partial Northern registration of AIG, and Gardaí are keen to speak to the van owner so that they may be ruled out of their inquiries. Anyone with information is being urged to contact Letterkenny Garda Station.
Taxi drivers say they are prepared to escalate their protests in a bid to achieve government financial support for the sector. Thousands of taxis clogged up the streets of Dublin today as drivers called for a specialised wage subsidy scheme to be introduced. They also want the age limit for taxi cars to be extended and a moratorium on the issuing of new taxi licences announced. Joe Heron, president of the Irish Taxi Drivers Federation, says they will be keeping a close eye on the government's reaction to their requests.
If they are in favour of them and do something good for us, then we wouldn't have reason for to have another protest. But if nothing is done or we're left in the dark again like we have been, then yes, we will come back again and we'll step it up the next time.
Tomorrow we'll see the return of the hashtag Love Donegal Day campaign to once again showcase Donegal to a worldwide audience. The initiative, coordinated by Donegal County Council, will build on the huge success of last year's campaign, which reached an audience of 33 million people worldwide. People are being encouraged tomorrow to tweet or post on Facebook using the hashtag Love Donegal. Gaelic of Donegal County Council, Councillor Rena Dunhay, says in light of recent challenges, it's more important than ever to promote the county as a place to work and visit.
It aims to extend our links with those who have roots in Donegal, our connections around the world, and just to promote the county, really, to bring people on staycation, to get the widest possible global audience. We want more people to visit here, maybe to pick up jobs here, to invest, to retire, whatever it takes to grow our economy.
And finally, Donegal Airport has been named the most scenic airport in the world for the third year. The airport tipped airports across the world to the Post in Private Fly's annual poll. One voter described it as the most wonderful scenery in the world. Weather now mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of an isolated shower. Areas of mist and fog will form with lowest temperatures of 13 to 16 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the government's new COVID roadmap has been described as confused and confusing. The plan contains five levels of restrictions based on how many cases of COVID there are in a particular county, but Dublin is being treated differently to the rest of the country. The owner of an award-winning takeaway and restaurant in Letterkenny says support from government is needed for businesses that report a positive case of COVID-19 on their premises. It's after nine staff members at Burrito Loco tested positive for the virus. Investigations are continuing after a large quantity of gold jewellery was stolen from a house in Raphoe. On Wednesday last, entry was gained to the property on Guest House End Street through the back door between 1 and 8:15pm. And Slieve League Distillers have this week turned the first sod on their new distillery in Ardrah. The new state-of-the-art facility is set to start distilling by June 2021. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, September the 15th. The death has taken place of Corinne Moyne, Skeg Road, Burnfoot. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in St Angus's Church, Burt, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are for family only. Corinne's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Paddy Bradley Kilcarrigart. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral will take place on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in St John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place of John P. Faulkner, Carrow Keel, Quigley's Point. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Drung, with burial in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed on stclumbusdrung.net. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, a wake and funeral is private to family and friends. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Richard Druce, Cashel Creeslaw. Service of remembrance and thanksgiving for the life of Richard Druce will take place in St Michael's Church, Creeslaw, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Private cremation to follow. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and service are private to family and close friends only, please. Service can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Michael's Church, Creeslaw. The death has taken place of Mrs. Evelyn Stewart Mondew Manor Cunningham, remains reposing at her residence. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Funeral service in Rye Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Rye Presbyterian Church Hall, Kev Gibson Funeral Directors. And the death has occurred of Brendan Budgeon Mitchell, Dundee, St Johnston. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family, close friends and neighbours only. Remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Bathan's Church, St Johnston, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.